Now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God. Well, you know, the book of Revelation is an incredible book. It tells us in the last days, God sends all kinds of plagues and horrors upon this earth. We know Revelation 6 talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse bring death, famine, pestilence, war. And yet we also read in the book of Revelation that even after all of these terrible things happen to mankind, that men do not repent. They refuse to repent of their fornication, their adultery, their murders, their thefts. So God gives people an opportunity. He calls whosoever will and says, come. But most men and women reject God and go about their way. And thus they make themselves into a victim. Yes, they do. It's their own fault, but they are vulnerable because they reject the truth. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that first God sends through his love, through his mercy, he sends the truth. But those who have not a love for the truth, God actually sends a strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. Some people say to me, now God doesn't do anything like that. He never tries to delude anybody. He never causes them to believe in the lie. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You see, first, God, in his love, in his kindness, gives people an opportunity to be faithful servants, to do what's right. But they say, no, we will not have you to rule over us, and we will go and do what we want. Because after all, the most important dictum or doctrine in the church of Satan is this, do as you will. That is the whole of the law, said British Satanist Aleister Crowley. And it was echoed in the hideous book, The Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan in the year 1966. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Do whatever you want. In the late 60s and 70s, that dictum was shortened and people just said, do your own thing. Do your own thing. Well, that can lead to tragedy, my friends. And I want to talk to you today about a certain kind of tragedy that is very, very vital. And it's not something, to believe it or not, that I enjoy talking about, because I would like to talk about more pure and wholesome things. But today I'm going to talk about sex. Sex. A perverted kind of sex. An unwholesome brand and type of sex. Specifically, sex that is practiced when Satan is in charge. When Satan is the teacher, when his demons are the instructors. And the textbooks for these sexual practices are actually textbooks which introduce people to satanic ritual. I think this is important because we need to understand that the devil has some devices that are so powerful in attracting people. You know, I once discovered something as I looked about and saw so many people involved in Satanism and New Ageism and witchcraft. I wanted to know the question, why? How was the devil able to attract all these people? And as I began to study the lives of these men and women, I found out something quite interesting. I found out that in the life of each one, Satan found a weakness. The majority fell because of sex. Because of sex. Now, there were others who fell because they couldn't control their temper. Anger. They were angry people. Others fell because of music. They got involved in heavy metal and other forms of perverted music. And they had a weakness for music. Some people are just drawn to satanic sound. And Satan used that. Some people are just inveterate liars, myth makers, fable tellers, exaggerators, and they've learned to be liars over the years. They just can't seem to help themselves. Of course, by turning their life over to Christ, he would help them, but, you know, they choose to go along their way, and they continue sinning by lying. And pretty soon they become the most incredible liars. I know you and I have met many of these people, have we not? Other people fall to drugs and to alcohol. Sometimes they say, I'm just going to try it once. But they lack the taste. They lack the feeling. They fall for alcohol, and some fall head over heels in love with drugs or alcohol. And you know, there are people that are made that way. They say that some races are like that. Now, many white con artists cheated Indians by giving them alcohol. It seems that the Native American Indians were especially subject to being the prey of alcoholism. Entire civilizations have been brought down by drugs and alcohol. Today I want to talk about sex, because I believe this is the biggest destroyer of all. Because sex is a normal instinct for us. God told man to go out and multiply and populate the earth way back in the Garden of Eden. And he gave us instruments to do it. And then God made a man and a woman to live together, to become man and wife. And so sex was a sacred act God gave for pleasure, enjoyment, yes, but also, most importantly, for creation, I mean creation of babies, to perpetuate the human race on this planet until Jesus Christ pulls the curtain on the whole thing. And it, you know, he creates new heavens and a new earth, as Peter tells us he will do someday in the future. So all of us have a sex drive, or at least I've never met anybody that didn't. I have read of a few that seem to be asexual, meaning having no real sex needs or drives. But I haven't met very many, and some seem to really have a sex drive, and others it's just more moderate or mild. But it seems to be the number one way that Satan is able to entrap people. He breaks up marriages. He destroys lives. He causes people to fall under some kind of a mesmerizing spell through sexual attraction and lure. Well, but today I want to emphasize that Satan, in his many cults, false religions, and secret societies, including the vile practice of Satanism itself, just blatant outright Satanism, and witchcraft, sex is a vital part of what Satan has brought about. The sex act, Satan has elevated to supreme importance because he knows how much it can influence men and women's makeup. Recently, I did a newsletter here at Power Prophecy. And if you haven't got it, well, you can read the feature article on powerofprophecy.com. Or you can phone us toll free at 1-800-234-9673. And if we have any copies left of this issue, the feature article is entitled, we'll send it to you. The feature article is entitled, The Illuminati Are Obsessed with Sex. The Illuminati. And it also says in this article that phallic monuments and mystery architecture provide shocking graphic proof of that fact. In fact, later on, I'm going to tell you how to get my newest video entitled Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle, which is all about the phallic architecture and sex monuments of the Illuminati across this planet. In plain sight, sex is, the devil has built sex idols. Idols. You say, well, I'm so many years old, I've never seen one. Well, maybe you just didn't know what they were. Maybe you, went right on by them and didn't realize what you were even seeing. Almost all of us know that in Washington, D.C., there is a great towering monument called the Washington Monument. It is supposedly to honor our first president, George Washington. But Dr. Kathy Burns, in her outstanding book, which we have available in the ministry, by the way, entitled Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, says this. She writes, the word obelisk, and remember now, that's what the Washington Monument is. It is a gigantic towering. In fact, it's supposedly the tallest obelisk, Egyptian obelisk, in the world. The word obelisk, writes Dr. Burns, literally means Baal's shaft or Baal's organ of reproduction. Who was Baal? Well, he was one of the idol gods that was actually Satan in disguise, worshipped by the Canaanites and others. You can read about Baal in the Old Testament of the Bible. They built fires to him. In fact, they call them heavenly fires to Baal, and even sacrificed children in these fires. But for those who worship the god Baal or Satan, they believe that sex itself was a type of heavenly or holy fire. Sex itself was holy fire, sacred fire. Now, isn't it interesting that we have a gigantic phallus? Because what this represents is the phallus that is the sex organ of Osiris, the great sun god of Egypt. Now, sometimes people would say to me, well, Tex, I thought that money was the thing that most attracted people to Satan. Well, certainly the Bible says, Paul wrote to his helper, Timothy, and he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I'm not going to just try to discredit money. But it seems like those who have a lot of money, then they gravitate towards sex. So even then, sex is a big motivator among the Illuminist elite. And here we have in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, the tallest structure is a sex idol. Who would have ever thought that America would have a sex idol standing erect in our nation's capital? But there it is. You see, these men and some women of the Illuminati display architecture and monuments of vulgar and offensive natures, as I said, out in the open, in plain sight. They believe we're too stupid, too profane, too much idiots to know what they're doing. Well, you know, I've always considered that my mission here at Power Prophecy. The Apostle Paul said something very interesting in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said about Christians, he said, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. These sex idols, in plain sight, or devices of the devil. And they use them, and I'm going to be showing you how during this hour. They use them to deceive and to lure men and women into their spider's web of deception. And the Bible says that we are not to be ignorant of them. Now, there comes a point when you don't need any more knowledge than you have. I understand that. And I'm sure not inviting you to go down and participate in some of their rituals, maybe by membership in the Bohemian Grove or the Council on Foreign Relations or one of these other groups, the Masonic Lodge. I don't think we need to get that close to the subject matter at hand. But intellectually, we need to grasp the meaning of these things. And then we can rescue others, and we can also point out the absurd and detestable nature of their practices. I believe there are at least a few reasonable, sensible men and women, if they knew how they were being taken by this nonsense, these idols, they would abandon it all. That's my hope. I can hope. I can pray. And prayer changes things. I know that. Well, we're going to look at these secret society rituals and symbols and logos, art and architecture, and see how they're so saturated with sexism and just plain debauchery. And the Masons themselves and the members of the secret societies and the witches and others actually admit this. Arthur Waite is a well-known 33rd degree Mason. He wrote a book called The Mysteries of Magic. And he confides in it that the square and compass of the Masonic Lodge is in fact a sexual image. Now, if you can get into your mind the square and the compass, what it depicts is a man mounting a woman. And by the way, if you have any kids today, I hope you'll take them, go put them in a room playing with something or watching some educational program on TV. It probably would be better for them not to be listening to this if they're not of age to do so. So I want to give parents a little warning, okay, before we begin any further. But wait. 33rd degree in Mysteries of Magic says that the Masonic Lodge's square and compass logo is found at every lodge, pictured or represented in one way or another, that this symbol, he says, represents heavenly fire, which he admits are code words for the sexual act between male and female. Albert Pike, 33rd degree, formerly Sovereign Grand Commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, agreed with Waite. He pointed out in his book, Morals and Dogma, the sexual significance of the Masonic Lodge's own square and compass logo. He says they pertain to the, what he calls the generative principle. Generative principle. Sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, which in the Masonic Lodge is considered a holy act. Manly P. Hall, another 33rd degree Mason, in his book, The Lost Keys of Masonry, adds a little bit more fire to the heavenly fire. And he says the meaning of the symbol of fire in Freemasonry is the sex act. You'll notice, too, that in many lodges, you'll see a square and compass and then the letter G inside. A lot of people have asked me, what does the letter G mean? Now, if you talk to a lower level Freemason, because at each stage of initiation in the Masonic Lodge, as you go up the chain to the 33rd, they reveal a different meaning and give you a different definition of that G. In the earliest stage, they say it's God. That stands for God. G. Later, they will tell you it stands for geometry. And even later, they tell you that stands for gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis, or mystical knowledge. And how is this gnosis obtained? Through sex. The generative sex act. G. You know, psychologists began talking about this G some time back when they developed this theory and teaching that the female's sex organ at a certain place on it is her favorite spot for sexual stimulation. And they called it the G spot. You ever wondered why? Well, some say, well, it stands for gynecology. Yeah, well, a Mason would laugh and snicker and say it stands for gnosis, the sex act, which they believe brings knowledge. You see, in the ancient temples of Babylon, Greece, and Rome, and really throughout the world, there were temples that practiced holy sex. The Indians and the others who are Hindus know well about this holy sex. They call it tantric sex. Tantric sex. The tantra. And they believe when a man or a woman are involved in this tantric sexual ritual, that they are invoking the gods or goddesses. And in fact, the practice of yoga itself is intended to invoke or to invite various deities of the Hindu faith. Many people learn yoga and they do their hands this way and their body this way, use various body postures and gestures. And they have no idea what they're doing. They're performing sex acts. And they're inviting Hindu devil demons into their lives through yoga. And everything, the way the hands are turned, the way the body is shaped, the symbols themselves, all have a meaning. As any self-respecting, should I use that term? I don't think there's such a thing. Hindu yoga master or teacher would tell you, the practice of yoga is learning the Tantra sex act. And yoga literally means to be yoked. Yoga, or yoked with the goddess. You receive the power of Shakti, or the goddess power, through sex. And they believed in the sex act, if it's done in a sacred religious way, and you invoke the goddess or various Hindu gods and goddesses into your life, into the ritual, and you light candles and do all of the other ritual rigmarole, they believe that sets up a process in your body along your spine, and that you achieve something called serpent kundalini. They believe that the serpent inside you is aroused. And beginning there at your tailbone, there are exactly 33 bone levels in a person's spine. There are 33. I believe that's one of the reasons why Freemasonry has 33 rituals. 33, I should say, degrees. 33 levels of bone structure in your spine. And they believe this serpent power, this heavenly or holy fire, sacred fire, is aroused in the lowest level, and it comes up through the genitals, and then it goes up through the spine and rises, and finally, at the highest level, the 33rd, a light flashes. The great sun god of the universe illuminates you. You are illuminated through the sex act, through tantra. and you receive the energy force into your body, into your mind and heart. Kundalini serpent power. Serpent power. Well, of course, the Bible in the book of Revelation and elsewhere tells us who the serpent is. The serpent, whom in the occult world is worshipped as the serpent of wisdom, is in fact the devil. That old dragon, the devil, also known as the serpent. The same one who deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, many architectural structures, in addition to the obelisk, are in fact sexual objects of the secret societies in Freemasonry. The ancient pyramid is seen by the Illuminati as a structure in which the sun's rays, which is, by the way, the sun's rays are the holy fire or the semen, believe it or not, the seed of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. They believe the sun rays, when you're bathed in the sun's rays, you're receiving the semen of the seed of Osiris. Talk about weird. Well, that's what they believe. And that this holy fire or semen of the sun god radiates and illuminates the outer structure of the pyramid, then enters within the pyramid's walls with its transformative powers, and that the interior of the pyramid is the womb and vagina of the goddess Isis, the great mother goddess of Egypt. The word pyramid literally means amid the pyre, pyramid, amid the pyre. The pyre is a great bunch of logs and burning materials that you set up. You know, sometimes they do that. They call them the Yule logs at Christmas when they worshiped the false god, the god of light. And still today, some football teams, for example, the Texas A&M Aggies and others, set up these huge, you know, structures of logs and trees. And they set it afire. They're basically worshiping Baal, the fire god, the sex god. That's what they're doing. This god has long been worshiped, of course. Do you remember in the Bible when King Herod had John the Baptist murdered? Remember Salome danced her dance? It was the dance of the seven veils. That's what they danced back then. In the holy temples, the holy prostitutes had seven layers of clothing, one for each of the colors of the rainbow, or the color spectrum, that is. And in their sensual dance, they would take off one veil at a time until finally they were nude, and then they and the man would have holy sex together. And then afterwards, he would give a tribute or some kind of a gift to the god or goddess. Well, Salome actually then had sex after her dance with Herod, her stepfather. Whereupon he said, "What gift do you require?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." John the Baptist was slain as a gift to the goddess and God after the sex act. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're showing how the Illuminati are so obsessed with sex and how Satan is using it to capture men's souls. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. I have a new video out, a documentary. It's all on DVD. We don't have it on VHS, regrettably, but it's available on DVD video, 60 minutes long. It's entitled Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. It explains and pictures the phallic architecture and sex monuments of the Illuminati. I want you to have it. And for your gift of $25, remember now, we're not a 501c3 tax exempt organization, so we're so sorry, but that's just the way it is. We've never asked for 501c3 as power prophecy, and we never will, because we don't want to be beholden to the government, because they tell these government subsidized churches what to do, and we're going to do what God wants us to do. Well, Baal's shaft and Cleopatra's needle. You will discover all about these phallic monuments, this mystery architecture, and you'll be shocked to discover that these things are everywhere in America and throughout the world. Now, here's how to get your copy of Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Simply write to us and send us $25 plus $4 shipping and handling, a total of $29, and put a little note in it and say, "Dear Tex, send me Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle." Now, you spell Baal, B-A-A-L, apostrophe S. But if you misspell it, we'll still know what you mean. Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. We have plenty of copies. We'll get one right back to you in the mail, okay? $29, that takes care of all the shipping and handling. As for my newest DVD, Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Now, call us toll-free if you'd like to and use your charge card, MasterCard, Discover, or Visa. And our telephone number here in the United States and Canada, toll-free, is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. If you'd like to mail it to us, your a payment of $29, put a little note in the envelope and ask for Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle, the DVD only now, the DVD, and we'll get it right out to you. Here's our address to send that. And by the way, you can send us a check, a money order, or cash, $29. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, if you can afford it, to tuck in a little extra love gift, we would so much appreciate your help. I tell you, our bills just keep going up. You know, there is a financial crisis in the world, but my goodness gracious, we've got one going on here too at Power Prophecy. Now, I'm not going to mislead you like some people do and say that we're going to discontinue this radio program or stop sending our newsletter out or close down our website. We're not there yet, but I'll tell you, if it keeps going the way it is, well, we might be eventually. So we do need your help. Again, I'm not going to beg you. I just leave that to the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. You know we have needs. And by the way, I don't want any widow woman who's living on Social Security and can't afford it and doesn't even know where their next meal is coming from. I'm not interested in your sending us your money, dear sister or brother. And I understand you have needs too. And we want to keep your getting our newsletter and such. And we want to be a blessing to you. But if you can at all afford it, and most of you can, and by the way, we don't have any real fat cats anyway. I mean, there's nobody out there that says, "Here, Tex, here's $100,000. No, we've never had that. And I'll tell you, you know, we just depend on what the world calls the little people. And I don't call them little. I'm one of those little people. It's people who send us $5, $10, $20, and every once in a while they do send more, maybe $100 or even more. But again, I don't want you to go without food and shelter and those basic things. But as God provides you and you can share with us, we so much appreciate it. And remember too, one great way to help us is to leave us in your will. And you can call us toll free at 1-800-234-9673. 334-9673 and ask us how to do that. It's very, very simple. You can leave it to Text Mars or to Power of Prophecy. But if you leave it to Text Mars, I'll know where to put the money. And we always run it through the ministry because the ministry comes first. And that's what we do with those who give through the ministry. When you donate it to Text Mars through the ministry, when you send it to 1708 Patterson Road and to Text Mars, make your checks or your money orders or what, and say this is a love gift, we go ahead and we put it into the ministry. And it's done that way so I can decide where the money should go, what it should be spent for. Because Juan and I are all the time looking at our bills and our needs and then our opportunities as well. And, of course, we have a staff here we've got to pay, and we got to keep the lights on and, heat or air conditioning or whatever, at least a minimum. And we got to pay our bills, our taxes. And that's right, we pay taxes, too. Just like you do, we have to pay taxes. And they keep increasing the taxes on us here in the state of Texas. And it's just one of the facts of life. Praise God, someday I'm going to be in heaven where they don't have a tax man. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Well, enough of all that money stuff, but you know we need help. And these are carnal things, it's true, but we've got to keep them coming. Some people don't understand why we don't just give everything away. Well, boy, wouldn't I just love to do that? I mean, it is better, blessed, to give than to receive, but you got to have some getting before you can afford to give. So that's just one of the facts of life, dear friends. But I want to tell you one thing. Every cent you give us is used for the glory of God. Every cent you donate, you give as a gift to this ministry, goes to the glory of God. And I'd like you to know something else, too. For quite a while, our sale of books, videos, and audio tapes and CDs has not paid all of our bills. Some people think that we must be making a mint, selling things. Not true. We have been losing money. The only way we're able to stay in existence is through love gifts. And that's why it's so important in your will to leave us what you can. You know, a precious brother down in Florida several years ago left us his house, his entire house. And, you know, he didn't have any family members he could leave it to. And he left it to us. And, you know, I think that's a memorial that he left. A memorial. And no telling how many people that man reached for God by leaving us his house. Now, we sold the house and we took the money and we put it into the ministry. That's exactly what we did. One lady sent us her wedding ring after she died. That was in her will. She left us her wedding ring. And I think it was only worth like $600, $700. But that's $600 or $700 we used for the glory of God. Well, she didn't need it in heaven. Dear friends, you can't take your wedding rings to heaven with you. I mean, so she said, well, I want to leave it to a ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's what she did. And I appreciate that so much. Had a couple not too long ago came to see us and they said, we want to leave what we have to Power of Prophecy Ministries in Text Mars. Said, we only have one child and that child is living for the devil. And I counseled them and I said, are you sure about this? And they told us about their daughter. She was into witchcraft and all kinds of things. She was supporting a Hindu guru, in fact. And they said, if we leave what we have to our daughter, she will give it to the Hindu guru and to the witches. And she has deserted God. And I said, well, let me have her name and I'm going to be praying for her daily here in the ministry. And I said, and you know, I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I understand what you're doing because I believe if possible, you should leave your money to your family. But sometimes that's not a good idea. There are people who have children who are on drugs, who are drug dealers. And if you leave your money to them when you die, if whatever savings you have, you leave it in your will to your son or daughter, guess what? They go and burn it up on cocaine, heroin, or drugs, and it ends up ruining their lives. People have alcoholic family members, and they say, I don't want to leave him or her. You know what little I'll have when I die? Because they'll abuse it. So here we are at Power of Prophecy with my promise. It will absolutely be used for the glory of God. Now let's return to our regular program. We're examining how the Illuminati are obsessed with sex. You know, the symbols and logos and marks of the secret societies and the false religions of the elite are saturated, littered with satanic sexual imagery. For example, way back on May 1, 1776, Adam Weishaupt of Bavaria founded the Order of the Illuminati. You can read about that in your Encyclopedia Britannica. And the symbol that he adopted was a very simple one. It was a point or dot within a circle. What was the meaning of the dot within a circle? Well, the point is considered the phallus or the penis of the mystery god. The circle is the vagina of the goddess. So even the very symbol of the Illuminati is of a sexual nature. In the Orient, they developed the yin-yang symbol, the yin-yang symbol. You'll see that at many martial arts studios where they teach young kids even the martial arts. That's the meaning of that backward satanic S with darkness on one side and light on the other. The yin-yang sign is a sign of sexual intercourse. The yang represents the male, the man, masculine principle. The yin, the female principle. The yang, this masculine principle, represents the sun god. The yin is the moon god, goddess. And they say that the moon goddess and the sun god have sexual intercourse, and thus you have the yin-yang symbol within the circle. The Jews adopted the six-pointed star, also called the Seal of Solomon, or the Star of David, for their representation of the sexual generative act. Now notice, if you will, in looking at the, or gazing at the six-pointed star, which is, by the way, on the flag of the nation of Israel as their prime symbol, and is found in many synagogues of Satan, and that's what they all are. Read about that, Revelation 2 and 3. Notice the triangle pointed up enters the triangle pointed down. The six-pointed star is actually two triangles joined in a sex act. In a sex act. And in this sex act, the vulva, or the genitals of the woman, also called the delta, pointed down, and the ascendant triangle pointed up, and they join together as one. This supposedly gives the Jewish symbol a great force of energy. And that is their God whom they worship. They do not worship the God of the Old Testament, but a God of energy forces, which is the same as the witches worship, and they call him Pan, the horned goat god of the forest, the lusty goat god of the forest. Now notice that the six-pointed star represents the number 666, the number of the beast. Figure it out. The Star of David, which David never used, the Seal of Solomon that Solomon may well have used. After all, Solomon apostatized. He betrayed God by marrying the women of the false religions. And then he created a temple and brought the Asherah poles. That's the sexual lingam, or the male sexual organs, the idols. He brought those right into the temple of God. What an abomination. The abomination that made desolate. Now, in the book of Kings in the Bible, we find that when he became this debauched king, Solomon, who one time was so wise, became so debauched with his sexual sorcery that he actually required the priest of the temple to bring him a sacrifice of 666 talents of gold annually. That's in the Bible. 666. And so, the so-called seal of Solomon of the Jews that's on their national flag is hermetically, that's occultly coded. It has, this star has 6 points, 6 lines, and a six-sided hexagon within. 666. It was the Rothschilds and the chief rabbis who insisted this symbol be placed on Israel's national flag. Now, the Jews' Talmud, their most holy book, the one the rabbis learn and teach today, and their Jewish Kabbalah, their book of sorcery, is full of sexual content. Take the Talmud. They tell you what is sex and what is not. For example, or what is unholy sex and what is not. Did you know that the Talmud says that if you have sex with a young boy 9 years old or younger, it's really not a sin? Why, that's not even intercourse at all. Whatever sex act you perform, whether it's fellatio or the regular intercourse, it's really no problem at all. You can do it as many times as you want to a little boy 9 years old and younger. You can even have incest with him. It's not really sex. That's the Jewish Talmud, the teachings of the rabbis. What about the little girls? Well, they start that at age 3, after age 3. A little girl 3 years or younger in age is not considered of an age to worry about. A man or a woman can have sex with a little girl 3 or under, according to the Jewish Talmud. And friends, that's why I have discovered in my research that in the Jewish communities, there is more incest than in any other racial or national community in the world. This is the most perverted race of people there are. It's because their religion teaches these things. The Talmud actually says, and remember, this is their holy book, not the Old Testament, the Talmud. A lot of people don't believe that, but you need to get the book that we offer in the ministry by Michael Hoffman, a great scholar of the Jewish religion and of Judaism. The name of the book is Judaism Discovered. Jerry, he's over at our broadcast place there. Jerry's our engineer. That book, Judaism Discovered, I think it's what, $45. Yeah, $50 total. We'll send it to him. It's a hardcover book. It's huge. It weighs a ton. It's a big book. But it explains, and actually, from the Jews' own Talmud itself, you'll learn all the teachings of the Talmud, how perverted they are sexually. It says in the Talmud that if you have sex with a little girl 3 years and younger, it's just like if you stuck a piece of wood in her. It's not a sin at all. It's not a problem. Oh boy. You'll remember that when President Bill Clinton had oral sex with Monica Lewinsky, the intern in the White House, that one of the Jewish rabbis there in Washington, D.C. came to his rescue. And on radio and TV, the Jewish rabbi was asked what he believed about this sex act between Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. And he says, well, I don't think that was sexual intercourse at all. Our Talmud teaches that oral sex is not intercourse. And you know, that got out to everybody. Pretty soon across America, teenagers were telling each other, well, according to President Clinton, that's not really sex. Oral sex is not sex. That came from a Jewish rabbi. and caught fire on international media. Oh, yeah. Well, their Talmud is nothing but pornography. Pornography. Now, not only in the Jewish religion, but there are many secret societies today that practice unholy, what they call sacred, but what we know as satanic sex. There's a secret society known as the OTO, or the Ordo Templi Orientis. I was recently reading a book. Boy, is this an eye-opening book. And I don't recommend it to anybody. And I ask God to protect my mind and thoughts. It's entitled Sex and Rockets, The Occult World of Jack Parsons. It's by John Carter with an introduction by Robert Anton Wilson, who's very much pro-occult. Jack Parsons, it's the biography of a man named Jack Parsons. Who was Jack Parsons? Well, he was a genius. He was a brilliant rocket scientist. He invented the solid fuel that was used for our current intercontinental ballistic missiles and rockets, including the ones that shoot off, you know, the moon astronauts and those that, you know, all the space program. He invented that fuel. He made the space program possible. Jack Parsons, there is a bronze plaque outside the entrance of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. And there on that plaque, they dedicate the whole JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, of our rocket programs to Jack Parsons. NASA actually named a crater on the moon after Jack Parsons. And by the way, on purpose, they chose a crater on the dark side of the moon. You see, Jack Parsons was the American high priest of the OTO, a satanic sect. The world leader of the OTO was a man named Aleister Crowley, who called himself the Great Beast 666. He was a 33rd degree Mason and the head of this OTO. The chief teaching of Mr. Crowley, or Crowley, some call him, and his high priest of the United States, Jack Parsons, was the teaching that the sex act could be used to invoke powers from the hellish world beyond. In fact, they believed that the right kind of sex ritual could be set up so that the Antichrist himself could be invoked to come and be born into this world. And so it was that Jack Parsons, known as one of the greatest scientists in the world, and his mistress, Marjorie Cameron, for 2 weeks straight stayed in bed and practiced various sexual rituals using all kind of Latin language and various positions, and I'm not even going to get into it all the time asking Pan and the great goddess of Babylon, Isis, to come into their bodies and habitate their bodies while they were having this so-called sacred sex. And when that didn't seem to work, they went out into the Mojave Desert, into the blazing sun of the Mojave Desert, and had sex 24 hours a day, or tried to, and invoked Babylon to come forth. They called it the Babylon ritual, or Babylon working. Now, you say, well, these people were idiots. They were insane. Of course they were. Now, one of the men whom Jack Parsons ordained to be part of his group was a man named L. Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard went on to found the religion today known as Scientology. And Scientology is, of course, practiced by Kirstie Alley, the actress, and Tom Cruise, and a whole raft of actors and actresses. And evidently has millions of followers around the world. Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard called it the study of Dianetics. I believe that was the study of the great goddess of witchcraft, Diana. But he made it scientific and called it Dianetics. Acts. Well, Jack Parsons, under the spell of a demon, actually gave a prophecy. And he prophesied that he, Jack Parsons, would be blown up in an explosion. Now, the police, when they found him dead, or what was left of him, said it was an accident. He was working on some new invention, and he took the ingredients for bombs and various rocket fuels to his home. And he had a home that was both a home that was used as a meeting place for his satanic craft, where they would have many satanic rituals and worship the devil in his many guises. And it was also a laboratory for him. Jack Parsons, they said, was working in his laboratory, and something happened and an explosion occurred, blew him to pieces, and burnt down the house, or most of it. Well, Jack Parsons, occultist, L. Ron Hubbard, Aleister Crowley. By the way, Aleister Crowley inspired the work of a professor named Kinsey of the University of Indiana, who gave us all of the sex supposed research of the 50s and 60s. That's right, the Kinsey Report came out of Satanism. And you'll find in the book by Dr. Judith Resnick that we offer about, we don't have that book anymore? Okay. Judith Reisman. Thank you. Thank you. Judith Reisman. Okay. Jerry's signaling me. It keeps me straight over here. We have a book about sex and Kinsey and consequences, or we used to have it. We don't anymore. But in that book, she has a picture of Dr. Kinsey visiting the abbey, the home, the worship ritual place or site on the island of Sicily off of Italy of 33rd degree Mason and the great beast, Aleister Crowley. Well, now let's go a little further. What other groups have this obsession with sex? Have you ever noticed the Council on Foreign Relations logo? It's a naked man, a wild naked man, giving a sign of Satan riding atop a strident white horse. The white horse of Revelation 6, a naked man. Then there's the old Knights Templar logo. Two men riding together on a horse on one saddle. Two men. The homosexual act is being portrayed there. Everywhere you go, dear friends, you'll see this sexual imagery. President Nixon once visited the Bohemian Grove, a meeting of the elite from across the world held out of San Francisco in the Redwood Forest. He said it was the most faggoty, filthy place he had ever seen. Sexual acts of a degrading nature occurring. Friends, let me tell you something. This is how Satan has been able to bring so many slaves into his kingdom. What does the Bible tell us to do? Get rid of fornication. Get rid of adultery. Get your mind set on the pure things of God. How can you do that? Turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You can't clean yourself up, but He can. He can make you whole. He can wash you. He can set you free. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been looking at sex cults of the Illuminati. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the liberating true freedom in the world. That is the power of prophecy.